Research. Research is a powerful tool. It is a powerful tool to use in order to prevent us from making mistakes. It prevents us from making foolish mistakes. Yes, I mentioned foolish mistakes, when I say that, hindi ho ito redundant. It's intentional. Because there are some mistakes na medyo understandable, but there are some foolish mistakes na kung saan will scar you for life. Now, I've learned this the hard way. 2 to 3 years into our relationship, bilang mag-boyfriend and girlfriend ni Diane, I thought I knew everything na possible na pwedeng malaman sa kanya. I thought I knew everything. Yung mga hindi niya gusto, lahat ng gusto niya, sabi ko, 2 years, kaya memorize ko na lahat to. So, I remember saving up for a particular gift. At yun yung nauso dati, yung tinatawag na Swarovski. Familiar ba kayo ron? Yung mga Swarovski bracelets na parang crystal siya. So, I said, yan ang gusto ni Diane. So, pinag-ipunan ko, medyo may kamahalan. Nung time na yun, wala naman ako masyadong pera noon. Ngayon, wala rin pa rin. So, nag-ipon ho ako ng pera. And from there, nilagay ko sa bulsa ko, nagmadali ako pumunta sa kanilang bahay. And from there, nakipagkwentuhan. I don't know what event that was. See how hopeless I am. So, nung magkatabi kaming dalawa, I was trying to look for some transitions kung paano ko ibibigay sa kanya yung gift na ito. And then I thought, alam mo ba yung mga nauusong bracelet ngayon? Yung Swarovski ba yon? Hoping to get her excited. And I was shocked sa kanya response. Alam mo, pangit nun. Sabi niya, alam mo, di ko gusto yun eh. Kaya ang mga kaibigan ko, lahat meron na. Kaya ako, yoko, di ako bumibili nun eh. Dahan ko, hinila yung Swarovski. Anong gagawin ko rito? I wish I should have asked those questions, researched in advance, and I look foolish. I hope doon na natapos yun. I love giving Diane roses. Love giving her roses. Every time my event, I feel Mr. Romeo very romantic, laging may rose pag may birthday, pag may anniversary, pag may Valentine's Day, or whatever. And there was an event na kung saan nakalimutan kong bumili ng rose. So nakita kami, I was very apologetic. Sabi, pasensya ka na, hindi ako nakabili ng rose. And to my shock, sinabi niya, eh, kahit kailan naman, di ako mahilig sa rose eh. So, nadulas pala siya noon. So, I feel like a fool. I should have investigated more. I should have learned from her more. I should have done my research more. Maybe also she thinks that I am foolish, such a fool, that by this time, dapat kilalang kilala ko na siya. And it turns out to her disappointment, baka hindi pala. Have you ever done or said something foolish in your life? Well, Paul rebukes the Galatian church or churches because they've done something even more foolish sa ginawa ko. They were trying to gain salvation o kaligtasan through religious works or religious activities, rather than placing their hope, their trust in Jesus Christ. Paul thought by this time, alam niyo na dapat ito, na salvation is through Christ alone and you will be living a life in accordance sa gospel of Jesus Christ. But to his dismay, hindi pa pala nila nagets. Yung passage na ito is chapter 3 and chapter 4 is heavy on theology. And yung theme ng passage ito is really about faith. Faith. We are now in our 5th week in our sermon series in the book of Galatians. No other gospel. Simulan po natin to sa pag-aaral when we found out that false teachers were inserting doubts sa mga Galatian churches, mga batang churches ito sa modern day Turkey sa panahon natin. They were questioning about yung validity ng gospel na tinuturo ni Paul, even questioning yung authority ni Paul bilang apostle. So, in response, Paul defended his apostolic authority for the sake of the gospel that he preaches. Kasi kung hindi siya magsasalita, kung hindi niya dedepensa, hindi baliwala talaga yung gospel na kanyang tinuturo. Paul visited the Jerusalem apostles and they gave the right hand of fellowship sa kanya. Binigay kay Paul as a sign that, yes, Paul, we are both preaching the same gospel. Yes, Paul, there is a gospel partnership sa ating dalawa. And yes, Paul, hindi tayo magkaiba ng gospel kasi yun yung pinag-chichismisan ng mga Judaizers o ng mga false teachers na kung saan si Paul daw ay nakuha lang yung mga turo niya ng gospel at saka yung apostleship niya sa second hand lang sa mga apostles at hindi on par sa mga apostles. Pero nung dumalo siya sa Jerusalem Church, that really settled yung situation or yung issue. But the very same Peter who affirmed the gospel and the gospel ministry ni Paul sa Jerusalem was the one who also was not living in step with the gospel. So ang ginawa ni Paul, exercised his apostolic authority, ni-rebuke niya si Peter because he's not walking in step with the gospel. And from there, sa chapter 2, dito tayo nagwakas, from that scenario, Paul preached a glorious doctrine. If you would flip back to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, and I will read this to you. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Ang ibig sabihin po ng justification dito is that God declares a sinner righteous. God declares a sinner innocent. God declares a sinner not guilty. Okay? Na kung saan as he put his faith and trust kay Jesus Christ for salvation at hindi sa kaanumang bagay. But, then again, sa chapter na ating aaralin ngayong hapon na ito, the Galatians are slowly departing from this glorious gospel. Dahan-dahanan silang umaalis, tumataliwas sa tinuro ni Paul. Kaya ngayong hapon na ito, mga kaibigan, it is my prayer that we would see by faith that Christ's death on the cross not only redeemed us from our sins, but also promised us blessings, glorious blessings. The blessings of the gospel is received by faith. The blessings of the gospel are received by faith. We have 3 points ngayong hapon na ito. Number one, by faith, we receive the Spirit, verses 1 to 5. Number two, by faith, we become sons of Abraham. And number three, by faith, we are saved from the curse of the law, verses 10 hanggang 14. Number one, by faith, we receive the Spirit, we receive the Spirit of God. Tignan niyo yung verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Intuhin muna tayo dyan. Medyo mabigat yung intro neto ni Paul pagdating dito, ano? Sa magandang balita Biblia, ang sabi niya, mga hangal! Mga hangal kayo! Sino nakagayuma sa inyo? Yun ang term na ginamit sa magandang balita. Medyo mas naramdaman natin ng konti, ano? Now, Paul was not being abusive sa kanyang language dito, nor he is using derogatory statements or terms sa mga taga-Galatians. Ang reason lang dito, kaya niya nasabi dito, is he was upset. He was upset at tama lang ang tone at forcefulness ng language niya sa paggamit dito. Dahil nanganganib ang mga taga-Galatia, nanganganib sila because they are about to abandon the gospel that saved them. At nalilipat na sila, nalilihis na sila sa maling doktrina. Ang mga Judaizers, ito yung mga false teachers ng time na ito, naggaling Jerusalem ay pumasok sa mga churches ng Galatia upang hikayatin sila na idagdag ang works of the law. Nasabi na, alam mo, wala naman kaming problema kay Jesus Christ eh. Wala naman kaming problema na tanggapin mo si Jesus Christ. Wala kaming problema roon. Pero para ikaw mapatawad sa iyong kasalanan, kailangan mong idagdag yung circumcision at saka dietary laws ng Jews. And from there, okay ka na. So, kailangan may works of the law sa faith nila apart from Christ para maligtas sila. Para sila'y mapatawad sa kanilang kasalanan. One scholar said that as far as Paul's able to tell, the Galatians were guilty of spiritual stupidity. The Galatians were behaving so foolishly na tinanong ni Paul kung sila ba talaga ay nagayuma or bewitched. Ano ba ibig sabihin ng bewitched? Ang bewitch means to give someone the evil eye or to cast a spell. Kung kayo po ay nakapanood na ng mga pelikula na kung saan may isang magician na kung saan tinitignan niya ng masama yung isang lalaki o sa babae, eye to eye, and from there hinihipnotize, doon ang galing yung term na yon, giving someone the evil eye. Parang ito yung sinasabi ni Paul dito, na para kayong nahipnotize ng isang magikero or sorcerer. Ba't kayo bigla na nagpapaniwala ng ganyan? Nagayong ma ba kayo? Okay lang ba kayo? So parang ganun yung tone ng ginagawa ni Paul. Of course, alam naman ni Paul na hindi sila nagayuma o na-hypnotize itong mga Galatians na ito. He was using this imagery upang ipaalam sa kanila na sila ay heavily and dangerously influenced by the false teacher. Hindi nyo alam, daan-daan na kayo na-impluensya ng mga tao na to. Ito marahil yung they took their focus away from the gospel of Jesus Christ because masyado na sila na-impluensyahan. So just a side application to this point, ang mga Galatians ay isang halimbawa ng mga tao na madaling makumbinse ng mga maling katuruan. Ito yung mga tipong tao na kung saan madaling masway ang kanilang paniniwala. Ito marahil yung mga madaling madala dahil sila ay madalas madala ng kanilang emosyon o dahil siguro wala silang interes sa pag-aaral ng salita ng Diyos. At dahil dyan, dahil sa magaling ang speaker, dahil very charismatic ang speaker, madaling gumaang ang kanilang loob sa tagapagsalita. Magaling ang oratory skills ng speaker, kahit walang content, kahit mali ang content, madali silang nadadala. Listen, kung mali o walang theology ang gospel na tinuturo o pinapakinggan mo, mauuwi po tayo sa kulto. Yun po ang mangyayari ron. If you are fond of listening to people na magaling magsalita, may mga unbogus mga promises na parang wala naman sa Bible, mabilis magpaiyak sa iyong mga mata, I suggest you put on your theological hat. Theological hearing aids, theological lenses, and try to see and listen and think kung ito ba may sinasabi nila is biblical. Kasi kung hindi, mauuwi po tayo following cults. So anong ginawa ni Paul dito? Well, he refocused their eyes back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tingnan nyo yung verse 1 or second part ng verse 1. It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Now, hindi sinasabi ni Paul dito na physically na-witness ng mga Galatians yung crucifixion ni Jesus Christ. It simply means when Paul shared the gospel of grace sa kanila, sa Antioch, the message was so clear, the message was so powerful, the message was so impactful sa kanila, as if they have seen Jesus Christ crucified. Ganun po ka-clear. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, this is also a reminder sa atin when we are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we should share it clearly, that we should share it completely, that we should share it compassionately, we should share it humbly, with passion. Kailangan natin mag-ingat sa temptation na dagdagan o bawasan yung ebanghelyo ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Dagdagan just to make it very enticing or attractive. Bawasan para hindi ma-offend. So let us not move in that temptation when we are sharing the gospel. Because dagdagan mo o bawasan mo, it will be a cultish gospel. It will be a gospel that is demonic. Nandun po sa kapamilya na yung bewitched eh. It's interesting, if you're sharing, Paul is saying, if you're sharing a different gospel, it's a demonic gospel. Yun po ang nangyayari rito. Someone asked me before, bakit daw ang mga churches na mga born-again Christians, walang naka-display na cross sa gitna ng sanctuary, na kung saan may statwa na nakapasok yung figure ng parang Jesus Christ. So bakit daw ganun ang mga born-again churches? They asked me knowing that I am a pastor. So, ang sagot ko po rito, meron na. Meron kami. My answer is, we do have the cross of Christ displayed sa church namin. Every time we open scriptures and preach, every time we sing songs about His death and resurrection, every time we do communion, we display the cross of Christ for all to see. Friends, that's how we display the gospel of Jesus Christ, through this local congregation who fears the Lord. You want to see the cross of Christ, open scripture. That's why may nag-comment sa'yo, Pastor, ba't parang madugo ata yung mga kanta ninyo? Of course. Because the blood of Christ unites us. It is the blood of Christ that causes us to be one. You want people to see the gospel? Invite them to church. Let them see the gospel, hear the gospel, read the gospel, preach the gospel, and exemplify the gospel through the community and yung personal life mo. Listen, to add good works to the cross of Christ as a basis for salvation ay isang malaking offense sa cross. It's a huge offense to the cross. Sadly, parang doon na papunta yung mga taga-Galatia. Yung mga churches doon. Doon na sila papunta ngayon. Eh, kailangan daw magpa-circumcise. Eh, kailangan daw may food dietary laws. Eh. Sadly, yun ang nangyayari sa mga tao na ito. Eh. So, what does Paul do? So, ito ginawa ni Paul. He asked rapid-fire questions. Yun ang ginawa niya. Okay? Like a good teacher, he asked rhetorical questions or questions sa kung saan obvious yung answer. At tingnan niyo yung verse 2 kung paano ginawa niya rito. Now, let me ask you this. Ito, matanong kita. Can you see a very disappointed father dito? Very fatherly. E nakita niyo mga anak niya na kung saan ilang beses mo tinuro, ilang beses mo pinoin kay Christ, and from there, gonna, and then he comes, like, listen, ganito. Okay, pakinggan mo ang tanong ko sa iyo. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Yun ang tanong niya. Simple lang naman ang tanong ni Paul dito. Eh. How did you receive the Spirit? How did you receive the Holy Spirit? Paano mo natanggap ang banal na Espiritu sa buhay mo? Paano? Tinga. Itong tanong na ito points back to the time sa kanilang conversion. When they received the Holy Spirit as time na lang naging Kristiyano sila. This is yung time na naging Kristiyano sila. They received the Holy Spirit. So the question is, how did you begin the Christian life? Technically, yun po yung tanong na yun eh. How did you begin the Christian life? Paano ka naligtas? Paano napunta sa iyong banal na Espiritu? Hindi kini-question ni Paul ang kanilang kaligtasan, but he is challenging them to consider whether they are saved by receiving the Spirit of God by faith or by the basis of good works. Kaya ba naligtas by trusting Jesus Christ or because by trusting yung mga religious activities ninyo? Okay? Ang sagot po dito, of course, obviously, they received the Spirit when they heard Paul preach the gospel. They received it. They heard it. They saw it. Friends, to possess the Holy Spirit means to be a Christian. To possess the Holy Spirit means to be a Christian. Hindi ho galing sa akin yan, nasa Romans 8 verse 9. Romans chapter 8 verse 9, ito ay isang palatandaan daw na ikaw ay naging Kristiyano kung nasa inyo ang banal na Espiritu. Ito po yung argument ni Peter nung kinwestiyon siya ng mga Judaizers dahil nag-share siya ng gospel sa mga Gentiles. Nasa Acts chapter 15 verse 8, na hindi niya kayang tanggihan ng mga Gentiles ayon sa kanyang argument. Bakit kamo? Because he witnessed them after sharing the gospel, receiving the Holy Spirit, and they broke into tongues. Nagsalita sila ng mga iba-ibang lingwahe. That's what made them Christians. The Spirit of God indwelling them as they hear the gospel, as they believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Friends, some of you who are followers of Jesus Christ, na nandito ngayong hapon na to, naniniwala ako na ikaw ay naging Kristiyano because someone shared the gospel to you. Or you heard the gospel presented to you in some kind of gathering. It was God's, and I just want to remind us, as parang ginagawa ni Paul sa mga Galatians dito, ano, it was God's grace na nakapakinig ka ng gospel. It was God's grace. It was God's grace that He gave you saving faith. Kasi pwede mo naman madinig yan, and parang wala lang eh. If not for the grace of God, hindi mo mauunawaan yan. Hindi ka mai-enlighten. You will not have saving faith. So you became a Christian because you have placed your faith in Christ for salvation. And because of that, the Spirit now dwells in you. The Spirit now, the Holy Spirit, third member of the Trinity indwells sa inyo ho ngayong oras na ito. I remember having a conversation with a gentleman who professed to be a Christian, and nag-uusap kami patungkol sa kung paano ang isang Kristiyano magpapatuloy sa kalagitnaan ng suliranin. Ayun yung topic na pinag-uusapan namin. Paano yung kayo mga Kristiyano kung saan sunod yung problema nila? Ano, maraming pinagdadaanan. And in the middle of our conversations, interestingly, he quoted to me a modern-day heresy. At ito yung sinabi niya. And you probably are familiar with this. God helps those who help themselves. Okay lang yan, Pastor. God helps those who help themselves. I think ito ang problema na pinasok ng mga Galatians. Yes, nasave ako, pero kung paano ipamuhay ang Christian life, sa akin to. They started right. They began the Christian life by grace through faith in Christ. Kaso, they lived their Christian lives apart from faith in Christ and started to rely their own good works for sanctification. Now I'm giving out big words here. So let me back up a little bit. Praise God, they trusted Jesus Christ. Tinagyan ka nilang pananampalita kay Kristo para sa kaligtasan. Pero ngayon na Christian sila, ako ay mamumuhay ng buhay Kristiyano apart from Christ. Kung meron mang pagbabago, sa akin manggagaling ito. Discarte ko ito. Now, I threw a big word here, word sanctification. We talked about justification where God declares you righteous through faith. Now, ano naman ang sanctification? Ang sanctification is, it is God's continuing work in us by changing us, transforming us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So, paano paraan? By freeing us from sinful habits and forming us in Christ-like affections, dispositions, at saka virtues. Ganun ang sanctification, where God is slowly transforming you to become like Christ. That's why you're starting to hate the sin that you once loved. That's why nagkakaroon ka ng interest in reading God's Word. That's why kung bakit parang hinihila ka pumunta ng church, nakikipag-fellowship ka with the believers na dito sa congregation. Because God is slowly transforming. Yun ang tawag dun sa sanctification. Now, ano ang problema ng Galatians? Ang problema dito ng mga Galatians, they are relying on their own good works to be sanctified. Kung ako magbabago, diskarte ko, hindi ang Panginoon. Hindi ko na kailangan magtiwala sa Panginoon. Ako nang bahala rito. Of course, we don't say that. We just act it. We just think that way. This leads us to the next argument ni Paul sa verse 3. Are you foolish? May mas malalim na term sa Tagalog. Ma-offend lang ang karamihan kaya hindi ko nasasabihin eh. Mangmang ka ba? Sira ka ba? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now perfect, being perfected by the flesh? Ang point ng sinasabi ni Paul dito ay, kung nasimulan ang buhay Kristiyano sa pamamagitan ng pagkilos ng Espiritu, then dapat magpatuloy tayo na umaasa sa Espiritu. Does that make sense? We must continue living the Christian life the way we started it. Paano? By faith. Relying on the Spirit of God. If we have trusted, put our faith in Christ for salvation, then ultimo yung pamumuhay Kristiyano should also be by faith. Kung kinakailangan natin ng grace upang marinig ang gospel, then we need faith and grace to stand firm and live out the gospel. Does that make sense? Sabi ni John Piper, the essential mark of a Christian is not how far you have progressed in sanctification, but on what you are relying to get there. Relying to get there. Friends, are you relying on God's Spirit to transform you to become more Christ-like? Or are you relying on yourself to achieve such change? Are you trying to fight sin by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God? Or are you trying to fight sin relying on your own works? Maybe that's the reason why you get really, really frustrated. Kasi feeling mo, pumalpak na naman ako, hindi ko mapatawad ang sarili ko. If that is yung tone ng iyong puso, every time you make mistakes, then maybe you are relying on your works, not on Christ. Yes, we should feel remorseful. We should be remorseful pag nagkasala tayo. Yes, we should be saddened. There should be deep sorrow, deep repentance that we cry out to Jesus. But we also remember that Jesus paid it all. That there is hope for us. Now, if you're the person na nagkamali, di mo mapatawad sa sarili mo, so tal, nagawa ko na naman to. E dire-diretsuhin ko na rin. So tal, yun naman ang tingin nila sa akin, di ba? Kung gano'n ay litanya natin, aba teka muna. Baka umaasa ka sa sarili mo para sa pagbabago at hindi nagtitiwala sa Panginoon. Remember, it is the Spirit of God that empowers us to obey the Word of God. You don't have the power to obey God's Word. It's the Spirit that empowers us. Verse 4, did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Ano ibig sabihin niya rito? What Paul assumes here is kapag ikaw ay naging Kristiyano, and get this, kapag ikaw ay naging tunay na Kristiyano, You will suffer. You will go through difficulties. You will go through series of hardships. And truly, sa statement ni Paul sa verse 4, ito yung mga nangyari sa Gentile Christians. Once they trusted Jesus Christ alone sa kanilang kaligtasan, they had gone through series of persecution. And they were enduring suffering because of their faith. Sila'y nakaranas ng paghihirap ng persecution dahil sa kanilang pananampalataya kay Kristo. And Paul is saying that. So sinasabi mo, nung tinakwil ka ng nanay mo dahil kay Kristo, baliwala na lang yon. Dahil nagtitiwala ka ngayon na kailangan mo pang magdagdag ng good works kaysa kay Christ lang para sa kaligtasan. Yung ba sinasabi mo? Baliwala ba yung pinatalsik ka sa trabaho mo dahil sa gospel principles na meron pinahahawakan mo? Yung ba sinasabi mo? So this is Paul reminding them. Kilala ko kayo eh, sabi ni Paul. Alam ko nangyari sa buhay ninyo. Nakita ko kung paano kumilos ang Panginoon sa inyo. Ngayon, binabalikan ni Paul at tinatanong niya kung para saan pa yung paghihirap na dinadanas niya sa gospel, kung ganyan-ganyanin na lang ang gospel. Friends, it is not true. It is not true kapag tayo ay naging Kristiyano, ay mawawala yung problema natin. It is not true sa mga naririnig natin nagtuturo dyan na once naging Kristiyano ka, hindi ka na magiging malungkot. Hindi na dadapo ang kalungkutan sa iyong puso. Na kapag ikaw naging Kristiyano, hindi ka na magkakasakit, hindi ka na maghihirap. Kasi once na naging Kristiyano na tayo, masaya na ang ating buhay. There's some truth to that, pero it's not the whole truth. And not the whole truth can be a lie. And that could be a lie coming from the enemy. And that's how we become very relaxed spiritually. Ayun pala eh, masaya naman pala. And from there, magugulat ka, bakit nahihirapan ako? Baka siguro hindi pa ako nagbibigay ng offering, kaya kakaganto kami, nagkakahirap ka. Do you see how legalism works? Naku, hindi ako lang ang church, kaya pala nagkasakit si Junior, magpupunta nga ako ng church. Hindi, yun yung pamumuhay nila rito eh. Hindi ho ganun. Hindi ho ganun ang sinasabi ni Paul dito. Remember, once na naging tunay na Kristiyano tayo, you will face suffering. Why? Kasi makikipagdigmaan ka eh. It is war. Once you become a Christian, you're immediately a soldier. Bakit? Saan, Pastor? Kasi may kaaway ka. Makikipagdigmaan tayo sa kaaway, yung si Satanas. Makikipagdigmaan po tayo sa ating laman. Makikipagdigmaan po tayo sa kamunduhan. And if you go against your old self, you will suffer. Patingin nyo ba, kung dati ka may struggle sa pornography, may dating struggle ka sa alcoholism, and then you become clean because of Christ, and you start to fight that, sa tingin nyo, masarap yun, madali yun? You have to fight it. And that's the beauty of community. You don't need to fight this alone. Part ng sanctification. Yung means ng sanctification ng Panginoon, yes, it's God's Word. Yes, it's prayer. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit. But also God uses yung means ng community, ng church, to help you fight sin. You have to be part of a local church. That's why we have membership classes. If you think you can win the war sa Christianity by yourself, you will suffer even more. And you will be suffering because of your foolishness, thinking na kaya mo ito mag-isa. Alright? Verse 5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Paul points them back to these miraculous works as a result ng kanilang faith, not observance to the works of the law. So Paul is reminding them constantly kung ano yung na-experience ninyo. Whenever the message is preached, it is accompanied by miracles. These supernatural works are but evidences na yung nagwo-work ang Espiritu sa kanilang buhay. Ano ba na nangyari sa kanila when they, sa mga taga-Galatians when they started preaching the gospel? They've been casting out demons. Yun ang nangyayari sa time na to. When they preach the word of God, ano nangyayari? People get saved. Nagkakaroon po ng healing sa mga may sakit. There was miraculous healing. Yun po yung nangyayari. And Paul was affirming that. Di ba ito yung ginawa ninyo? Ito nangyayari sa inyo? Ganun nangyayari? There was miracles. So ang sinasabi mo, Pastor, pag naging Kristiyano ko, kaya ko mag-miracle? Kasi yun yung mga naririnig ko nagtuturo. Kaya ko mag-miracle, kaya ko magpagaling, gagaling. Ilabas ang mga panyo. Ayan, iwagayway. Ipahid, gagaling. Yung bayo kasi Christian, yung sinabi ni Paul. So see how dangerous this can be if you're not reading through text. Again, these are apostles. These gifts are initially para sa kanila. When they preach the gospel, to affirm the message, kailangan may backup ng signs. Because yung authenticity ng message during these foundational years ng church should be backed up by signs to authenticate yung messenger and yung message mismo. And by the way, it was been prophesied na ganun ang mangyayari. But that's important to know biblical theology, biblical history. Sa time na to, iba na. Pero I'm not saying walang miracle na nangyari sa bawat isa sa inyo. I'd like to share two things na nangyari sa inyo na milagro. Gusto niyo malaman? Well, one, I'll use two terms. One, justification and sanctification. Those are two miracles na nangyari sa inyo at sa akin. Justification, because you were once children of darkness. You love sin. You hate God. Why would God put His attention sa iyo? You're not wonderfully obeying the Lord. Justification means God is forgiving you of your sins. Not because kung ano yung ginawa mo, but because kung ano yung ginawa niya by sending His Son on the cross. That is one miracle. Why? Because you will never love God. Kahit anong gawin mo, kahit anong sabihin mo, you will never want Him. That's a miracle. Why? Because it's beyond you. It is God working in and through you. So that's a miracle, naligtas ka. Second, sanctification is also a miracle. I've been hearing stories of members na nandito na dati ito ang ginagawa nila, ngayon binago na sila ng Panginoon. You know your story. Hindi ba milagro yan? People, your family gave up on you already? Di ba? May mga ganun story kayo? Na dati tingin sa'yo ng mga kapitbahay, masungit ka, tingin sa'yo, wala ka ng pag-asa. And from there, because God saved you, which is one miracle, and now binago ka. That's another miracle. Why is it a miracle? Kasi hindi mo kaya gawin mag-isa. Why? Because it is supernatural. Kung ikaw masusunod, ayaw mo magbago. Gusto mo yung dati mo. So these are two wonderful miracles. All of these rhetorical questions boil down to one single issue. So ano yung issue na yun? Does the Christian receive the Holy Spirit of God by works of the law, or by hearing through faith? Ang sagot is obvious. It is by faith. Because they cannot deny their experience of the Holy Spirit. Naranasan nila eh. So Paul gives a list of questions na sinasabi, ikaw, naalala mo yun, naalala mo yun. Ginawa mo ba yan? So say, oo, alam namin. We affirm lahat yun na pagkilos ng Panginoon. Faith is how you begin and continue in the Christian life. Let me say that again. Faith is how you begin and continue in the Christian life. You don't start by legalism, earning the forgiveness of God. And you don't continue by legalism or rituals, earning favor and merit from God. We practice good deeds not to earn for forgiveness, but because we are forgiven. Because we are accepted, we are declared righteous, because we are loved, because we have life in the Spirit, and that's why we obey. The reason why you love the unlovable, it's because you have been loved first. The reason why supernaturally nakapagpatawad ka, it's because you have been forgiven. The reason why, for some strange reason, hindi ko binibitawan ang marriage na ito, it's because Christ is faithful to His bride. God is doing something sa life mo. That's the Christian life. It's always by faith. Pastor, hirap na ako sa struggle ko sa kasalanan. It is by faith you will go through this. Those who heard and accepted the gospel with faith have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. At yan ang isa sa blessing. Second blessing is by faith, we become sons of Abraham. Verses 6 to 9. Now Paul moves the argument from the evidences of their conversion experience to the evidences of Scripture. Nakita niyo ba yan? Inuna niya yung testimony. Patibayin pa natin yung evidence na kailangan niyo Holy Spirit is by faith. Punta naman tayo sa Bible. Verse 6, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to them as righteous, know then that it is those who have faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to God, Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Ang mga Galatians ay nagsisimula ng maniwala sa mga lingturo ng mga Judaizers na kailangan daw muna magpa-circumcise bago maging part ng family ni Abraham. Yun ang tinuturo. Bago ka maging son, bago ka maging daughter of faith ni Abraham, ay kailangan mo munang magpa-circumcise. Of course, we talked about yung importance ng circumcision on time sa Jews. I'm not going to go back to that. But Paul argues against this katuruan. At paano siya nag-argue, he quotes an Old Testament scripture para patunayan na hindi ito yung case. At makikita po itong quote na to sa Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, which is yung binasa sa atin ni Kuya Jack kanina o ni Pastor Jack. Now, bago ko basahin yung Genesis 15, verse 6, sino pa to si Abraham? But parang puro Abraham na lang yung pinagmamalaki ng mga Judaizers na to? But laging Abraham na lang yung pinag-uusapan din? Bakit siya ang basehan? Anong meron kay Abraham na siya ang pinili ng Panginoon upang pagpalain or i-bless? Well, una sa lahat, si Abraham po, pupunta tayo sa Lumang Tipan, ay isang pagan idol worshipper. Hindi niya kilala si Yahweh, isa siyang makasalanan, iba ang Diyos na sinasamba niya. There is nothing good or pleasing about Abraham sa harapan ng Diyos. But, by God's sovereign grace, He called Abraham, gave him a promise that he will be the father of many nations, o ng mga iba-ibang lahi. And through him, the nations will be blessed. Ano ibig sabihin ng the nations will be blessed? Mamaya, balikan natin yan. Pinaniwala ni Abraham ang pangako ng Panginoon. God gave him a promise, so Abraham believed that promise. And because he believed the promise or God's word, na kung saan ifulfill ng Panginoon itong promise, ito, anong ginawa sa kanya ng Panginoon? God declared him righteous. Isn't that interesting? He trusted. God gave a promise, God gave His word, so ang ginawa ni Abraham, I believe in that promise na gagawin mo. I believe in that word. And because of that, God declared him righteous. Genesis 15 verse 6. Basahin ko sa inyo. And he believed the Lord and he counted it to him as righteous. Why did Paul bring Abraham sa argument na ito? Kasi most likely, kasi si Abraham ang kauna-unahang nagpa-circumcise bilang tanda or mark na ikaw ay anak ng Diyos noong time na yon. Pero he brought up Abraham not to strengthen ang argument ng mga Judaizers, but to debunk it. O para wasakin yung argumento nila. Ang point ni Paul dito ay bago pa ma-circumcise si Abraham, bago pa niya willing i-sacrifice si Isaac yung kanyang anak, bago pa lumabas ang Ten Commandments, Abraham was already counted as righteous. Ligtas na siya before pa mangyari yon. So hindi kailangan magpa-circumcise para maging anak ng Diyos. O para maging anak ni Abraham. Why? Because he has trusted. Abraham was already counted as righteous because he trusted, put his faith on God by believing the promised son. By believing his word that he will be the father of many nations, that through him the nations will be blessed kahit wala pa siyang anak. God declared him righteous. God declared him innocent. God declared him not guilty. God said, pinatawad na kita sa mga kasalanan mo. Yun ang ginawa ng Panginoon sa kanya. Romans chapter 4, 21 to 22. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised, that is why Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteous. Romans 4, verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteous. Faith looks to God. Faith depends on God. Your faith is not what makes you righteous. Gusto ko lang iklaro. Yung pananampalataya mo sa Panginoon ang hindi magpapawalang sala sa'yo. Kasi may mga name it, claim it, na kumakalat sa Panginoon. Basta believe mo lang mapatawad ka, papatawarin ka ng Panginoon. Name it. Claim it. See, yan yung faith. Hindi po. Let me say it again. Your faith is not what makes you righteous, mga kaibigan. God is the one that makes you righteous. Amen? Ang faith ay isang God-given gift upang tayo ay maging united to the one who is truly righteous, Jesus Christ. Ang Old Testament, excuse me, and New Testament na gospel ay parehas. Salvation by grace through faith in God alone. It's the same. It is trusting and believing in the promise of God. So anyone who by faith believes and trusts the promise of God will become the sons and daughters of Abraham. Kasi pag sinabing you're a son or daughter of Abraham, you are a son or daughter of the faith. Or you are the son and daughter of God. In short, if you believe in the promise of God for salvation by faith, you become part ng family ng Panginoon. Hindi through circumcision. Hindi through dietary laws. Hindi sa religious works. Tingnan niyo verse 8 to 9. In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Ano ba blessing na sinasabi kay Abraham dito? Ano yung sinasabi dito na nations will receive yung blessings? Ano ibig sabihin nun? Ang blessings ba na ito is something na may experience nila? Ito mga blessings na ito, yung material? Anong blessing blessings ito? Pastor, gusto ko yan, blessings. Kadalasan kapag nadidinig natin ang salitang blessing sa Christian language, ang pumapasok agad sa isipan po natin ay physical blessings. Hindi po ba? Ay kapatid, may blessing ako. Ay, papasok may promotion. Uy, gumaling na yung nanay. Uy, blessing. May pera to. Baka baluta, bibigyan ako ng pera. I mean, time na yan. Kalimutan ko na. At napakaraming mangangaral ngayon na ito ang tinuturo. Na kapag ikaw ay nagtiwala sa Panginoon, you will have financial blessings. Material blessings, good health, blessings sa career. Sige lang. Yun ang mangyayari sa'yo. Wala akong basihan ho sa Bible yun. But ang blessings na sinasabi po dito sa passage ito is that anyone who believes, trusts in the promise of God, pareho ni Abraham, eto po yung blessing, will have a right standing with God. Yun yung blessing na tinutukoy dito. If you believe, pareho ni Abraham, if you put your trust in God, in Jesus Christ alone by faith, eto yung blessing, you will be forgiven. Have you ever experienced trying to do everything sa tao na kung saan nagawa mo ng pagkakasala at hindi ka mapatawad. Lahat ng pag-aabiso, lahat ng paghihingi ng tawad, lahat ng pagsusuyo, ginawa mo na pero hindi ka pa rin pinapatawad. Do you know how heavy that is? Just imagine the eternal holy God, yung galit niya sa atin is unforgivable. It's so unforgivable and lethal, it will lead you to death. But because sa ginawa ni Jesus Christ sa cross, anyone who puts their faith in Christ, God's blessing is, pinatawad na kita. Masarap marinig kaya nun, pinatawad na kita. Isipin mo lahat ng mga tao na gawa mong mali at sinabi niyang, pinatawad na kita. Isipin mo lahat ng ginawa mong pagkakamali sa Diyos na alam mo na walang nakakalaan na iba. Lahat ng kasalanan na alam mo na walang nakakalam, lahat ng kasalanan mo na hindi mo alam na ginagawa mo pa rin. Sabi ng Panginoon, pinatawad kita. Ito mga, that's the blessing na meron yung gospel. Ngunit bago natin matanggap yung blessing ng gospel na to, may kailangan tayong wasakin. May kailangan tayong wasakin, which is yung number three and last. By faith, we are saved from the curse of the law. Kailangan wasakin yung curse bago ka mapatawad. Verse 10 to 14, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Itong mga verses na ito ay sinasabi na ang law ay hindi tayo kayang iligtas. Walang kayang tuparin ito. Walang kayang sumunod nito perfectly. Sabi nga sa James chapter 2 verse 10, for whoever keeps the whole law, which is in 10 commandments, but fails in one point, has become guilty of all of it. So, sumablay ka lang sa isa, sablay ka na sa lahat. The thought of even nakasyam ka is already bumagsak ka na. Diba? Binanggit din sa isang salita, yung salita rito, yung curse. Ano yung curse? Meron daw divine curse sa mga hindi makatupad ng Ten Commandments o yung law na ito. Ano ba ibig sabihin ng curse o sumpa dito? No, hindi po ito yung nauunawaan nating sumpa na parang nanggagaling sa kulam o barang, ano, na nanggagaling sa albularyo. Sinumpa yan ng albularyo, kaya ganyan, ika-ika ngayon yan. Hindi po yun, ganun. Hindi yun yung sumpa rito. This is something more fatal, more dangerous. The curse of sin, which is death. In Genesis chapter 1, God created man to image him so that man would display his glory to all the earth. Ang problema, Genesis chapter 3, man disobeyed God because man wants his glory displayed at hindi yung Panginoon. Because of his disobedience, the curse of sin is upon him, which is death. At lahat ng lumabas kay Adam and Eve were cursed by sin. Then God chose a people for himself called the Israelites and gave them the law, yung Ten Commandments. Bakit binigyan ng Panginoon? So that they would show the other nations who God is and display His glory as they obey the Ten Commandments. Nakakaangat sila sa ibang lahi so that God would be glorified. Teka muna. Hindi na lang tupad din ito. So problema rin ito, di ba? Kung ang law is there to be a blessing para sa lahat, then bakit sinasabi niya in verse 10 to 12? Verse 10 to 12 tells us that those who rely on the law are cursed. Bakit yun ang sinabi kung ang law is a blessing? Well, let me give you three reasons. Unang-una, dahil walang makasunod na ito perfectly. Nasa verse 10. Pangalawa, dahil justification is not by works but through faith, which is verse 11. Third, dahil ang law and faith are hindi magkatugma, which is makikita niyo sa verse 12. Sa Deuteronomy 28, God promised blessings to those who obey. And God also will put curses those who disobey. So makikita natin sa theme na ito ng passage to is blessings and curses. Blessing and curse. Friends, if this is true, yung sinasabi sa Deuteronomy 28, but because I know it is true, kasi ito yung salita ng Diyos, all of us who disobey the law are under a curse. We are under the curse, the wrath of God. Bakit? Kasi all of us disobey the law. We are cursed. We need this curse lifted from us. Kailangan mawasak yung curse na yun. Paano? We run. Hindi takpuan ng kasalanan. We run to Christ. We run to Jesus who took the penalty of our sins. Sa Deuteronomy 21:23, a criminal was placed on a tree as an indication na sila ay condemned bilang isang kriminal. This was a visible symbol of rejection for everyone to see. To be put on a tree was to declare that this person is cursed, pinabayaan na ng Diyos. Mga kaibigan, Jesus took not only our curse, He became cursed for us. He became the incarnation of the curse of God when He was nailed on that tree. Even the sun stopped shining nung time na yon, and Jesus cried out rejection. My God, why have you forsaken me? For us to understand yung curse and blessing ng Panginoon, let me quote yung sinabi ni R.C. Sproul. Sinabi ni R.C. Sproul, kung gusto natin maunawaan ang curse ng Panginoon at yung blessing niya, or yung curse mismo, kasi a lot of people believe na ang Panginoon hindi kaya magsumpa eh. People say, ay, hindi kaya gawin ng Panginoon yung trahedya niya. Hindi kaya. No. God is a God who curses, who gives curse. So para maintindihan daw natin ang curse ng Panginoon, buksan daw natin ang Bibles natin sa Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. Magtataka lang kayo sa Numbers 24 hanggang 20, Numbers 6, 24 to 26. Lahat ng babasahin doon ay puro blessing. Let me read it to you, okay? Numbers 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So ano sinasabi ng Mamang Sproul na kung gusto natin maintindihan yung curse ng Panginoon, punta tayo sa Numbers chapter 6. Kasi ito ang sinabi ni R.C. Sproul. Kung gusto mo intindihan yung full understanding, magkaroon tayo ng full understanding ng wrath ni God, or at least part of it, baliktarin mo lahat yung sinabi na yun at yun ang itsura ng wrath ng Panginoon. So baliktarin natin yan and it will sound like this. May the Lord curse you and abandon you. May the Lord keep you in darkness and give you only judgment without grace. May the Lord turn His back upon you and remove His peace from you forever. Katakot yung Diyos na ito. Because it's true. Jesus was not cursed because of His sin, kasi sinless siya. Jesus was cursed because He bore our sins in His own body on that tree. His curse reached throughout the earth and covered all who are not covered by the righteousness of Christ. This is a great doctrine of substitutionary atonement. Jesus took God's wrath for us, the great exchange. Na dapat tayo yon siyang napako sa krus para sa atin. He satisfied God's justice. He was our atoning sacrifice. Our curse was transferred to Him. His righteousness to us. Kapatid, mahalin mo yung Diyos na ito. Because of Him, we have freedom. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, we receive the blessing of Abraham. Friends, let me end this by saying that my prayer before we leave is that we would see by faith that Christ's death on the cross did redeem us from our sins, but also included in that, When you were saved by God, He gave you blessings. The blessing of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the blessing of being part of the family of God, and the blessing of being redeemed. The blessings of the gospel is only received by faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your work of grace sa life namin. We deserve nothing but your eternal judgment. I pray, Panginoon, that the very faith that you na binigay niyo po sa amin to believe you that caused us to be saved would be that same faith na dadalin po namin sa aming pamumuhay this coming week. Every time we're tempted to have this uncontrollable anger, every time we are tempted to fall into our lustful desires, every time we're tempted to lie, every time we are tempted to go back sa aming mga bisyo, every time we're tempted to hate and not to love, help us, Father. Help us to exercise faith that would cause us to walk in holiness, righteousness, and purity as we depend on the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.